chapter 6. And the last time we got down, I believe, through verse 9. And I'm going to go back to verse 6 and read through verse 9 and make a few comments to kind of tie everything in today's lesson. Anyway, Romans chapter 6, verse 6 says, "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, meaning Christ, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is free from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him." Now, verse 9 is the one we left off on last time. It says, "Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more." And we know that Christ died once for his children, for not his children, the Father's children. And we are adopted brothers and sisters. You know, he is going to be, well, we are going to be together with him, with the Father. Hopefully, we're all looking forward to that. I know as you get older and you hit 70 years old or however old you are, and the pains start and, you know, and the things, you know, you think about things like that. You know, it won't be long. I'll get to be with my Lord. And anyway, it says, "Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him." And because of that, yeah, we might have to suffer physical death. That might be the way that the Lord brings us home. Or he might just come and get us. I don't have any idea how he's going to work that out, one way or the other. But I know this, that we that are his children will be with him, with the Lord. And death has no more dominion over him, and so spiritual death has no more dominion over us. In verse 10, "For in that he died, he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God." So, in that he died unto sin once. Now, he didn't die in sin. He had no sin. He died because of sin. He died because of my sin. And he died unto sin once. He's not going to die many times. And we read in Hebrews chapter 9 where it talks about him having to die maybe many times. If people that believe that you can be lost and saved and lost and saved and lost and saved, they would put Christ on the cross oftentimes. He died once. If that's not sufficient, then you need to look somewhere else. Because you don't know my Lord. But in that he liveth unto God. Now, we are to be like Christ. And we're going to hear that term a lot in this lesson. We need to be like Christ. That's what a Christian means. It means like Christ. And in that he liveth unto God. We have been given life through our Lord Jesus Christ, and we should live that life unto God, in service to God. We're going to hear about being servants later. Anyway, turn to Isaiah 53. Hold your place here. Isaiah 53, and I'm going to read the whole chapter. I try not to make any comments on it, because it pretty much explains itself. Isaiah 53, reading the whole chapter. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, and he shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in the land. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. This is all talking about Jesus and his death on the cross, his perfect life, and how he has done all this for us. What have we done for him? And I'm not going to say we need to work to repay, because that's a debt we can't pay. Anyway, back in Romans chapter 6, verse 11, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. Now this, likewise, what's that mean? Just like that, like Christ did. Again, Christ-like, like Christ. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but not because of our deeds, not because of our actions, because of his. We need to be dead to sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, Isaiah 53 tells the whole story. And I could have made many, many, many comments on it. And our pastor is very happy that I didn't. But if you ever get down hard, read Isaiah 53. It'll pick you back up. He did all that for us. All the things. And it says the things that we did, you know, we esteemed him not. Didn't have any pity or thing. And it's hard to reckon why he did the things he did for us. again in verse 11. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. As Isaiah 53 says, that he lives unto God. And how are we to live? Unto our Lord Jesus. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. We need to live a life that's pleasing to Him. Not to ourselves. Verse 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Now, when we were lost, before the Holy Spirit dealt with us, and before we come to know Christ as Savior, we had no choice. We served sin. That was it. There was nothing we could do to please the Lord. Now we have a choice. It says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies. So you have a choice. Are you going to serve the Lord? Or are you going to serve sin still yet? Now we're not sin free. We are saved from the power of sin, and we'll get to that also later. But it says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. That is your physical body. You have a spirit too. And hopefully our spirit is, we need to be like in a spirit of prayer for one thing. We need to be in a spirit of service. We need to be in a spirit of obedience to our Lord. That we can't, well, I don't say can't, because obviously we do. We still sin. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. That means it's not going to control you. It's not going to have the power to make you do things. When we were lost, that's what we went after. Whatever pleased the flesh. Now, we're going to talk about flesh a little bit, not much. But most generally, when the Bible talks about the flesh, it's not a good thing. That's when you do the things that are pleasing to the body. Anyway, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Now, again, I'm going to say, you know, we're still going to have sin. We still have the old sinful nature in us. We have a new nature to serve the Lord, but we are still sinners. And somehow or another, a lot of people have got it in their head that if you're saved or claim to be saved or a Christian, that you are to be perfect. And that is what we should strive to be. We will not obtain that. Not in this present life. We will, at the time the Lord gives us our glorified body, yeah, we're going to attain perfection then, but not of our own accord, because of Christ and what He's done for us. And that we should not obey sin in the lust thereof. The things that give us carnal pleasure. And I've said it many times, there is a pleasure in sin. If you're a child of God, it's probably pretty short-lasting pleasure. Because the Holy Spirit that indwells us will convict you of sin. Now, when I was saved, the Holy Spirit convicted me of sin in that regard. But it's an ongoing thing. If the Holy Spirit indwells you, and you do something wrong, you're going to hear about it. Verse 13, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. Again, you have a choice now. Before you didn't. You served sin and you had no power to not serve sin. But yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead. We were dead. We were dead in sin. We need to yield ourselves to God because we are made alive in Christ Jesus. And your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. We need to use these things that God has given us. We have people that have special talents or special gifts. Our pastor is a called preacher. He was given the ability and the understanding to present the word. And I, well, I don't know if I have any particular special gift or anything like that, but I have a desire to present the word. But I cannot present the word. I can just sit out and listen. He can. I guarantee you, if something happened that they said he couldn't preach, I don't see how he would not preach anyway. Because, well, you all know about this truth thing that's going around. And here, a couple of weeks ago, he was unable to preach. And so he said to me, "Can you preach?" I can try. So anyway, he was here. Sparky was here with his wife, she perversely called Sparky. Anyway, he was here. He couldn't preach, but he was here. And those of us that claim to know Christ, and we can't, even in the least way, if we are able to come to his house, well, something's wrong. Now, my wife is not here this morning. I'm not going to point finger at her because she thumped my Lord, and I'm not going to let that happen. But anyway, sometimes things happen. He was sick, and yet he was over sick, but he was still sick. You know, he was in bad shape, but he came. He was in God's house, and we ought to have a desire to be here. You know, and I from time to time. I'm full age, and some of the other members are, and others have medical issues and things like that. And we can't be here. I understand that. But if there's nothing wrong with us, and we're not in God's house when the doors are open, there needs to be some soul searching going on. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Use these things. You know, the worst part of a human being, as far as sin is concerned, is I believe anyway, that little thing there, good about telling lies and causing hurt feelings, things like that. We need to be careful what we say. Once the words leave your mouth, they can't be called back. you might lose your witness to people because of things you say. Anyway, these same members that we used to yield to unrighteousness, now we are to use as instruments of righteousness unto God. If you can talk, and most of us here can talk, I would say, but we need to talk about the Lord. And we worry about opportunity. You know, when will the Lord give me an opportunity? Well, you know, if somebody's within hearing distance, that's an opportunity. Now, I can't say that I do that. I do a lot. You can ask people that are around me. They sometimes wish I'd shut my mouth, but anyway, we need to be ready and willing to do the Lord's work. He didn't save us just to be saved and sit around and watch TV and say hallelujah when we have a hamburger and french fries. No, he saved us. We need to be about the work. We are to be Christ-like. When Christ was here, what did he do? He went about the Father's work. We need to do the same. Verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Sin doesn't have dominion over us. That means it doesn't have the power that it did. Now, there's, like I said, there's a pleasure in sin, even after you're saved. Don't get me wrong. But it doesn't have dominion over you. You can't be forced, so to speak, to do things that are displeasing to God. You have a choice to make. Are you going to serve Satan, or are you going to serve the Lord? We need to make every morning when we get up, today I'm going to serve the Lord. Today I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to do the things He would have me to do. And we are under grace. We're not under the law, we're under grace. Why? Christ fulfilled the law. That's why we're under grace. Because we can't fulfill the law. Never could. Verse 15. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Now, this is apparently a pretty important thing that we understand. So turn back to verse 1, the same chapter, verses 1 and 2. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we, that are dead to sin, live any longer therein? This is an important thing for you to figure out, to understand. It was presented to you plainly. What then? Are we going to sin because, that grace may abound? No. Just God forbid. Never let it happen. Verse 16, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, the servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. Now, are we going to be servants of sin, or are we going to be servants of the Lord? And I know this sounds like you're trying to beat a dead horse, you know, and you're over and over and over again. You know how you learn something? Repetition. You do it over and over and over again. You have trouble praying. You don't know how to say the words. You keep praying. And there are times when well, we've got a fellowship meeting coming up. Brother Tom Ross is going to preach for us, Lord willing. And I was praying the other day, and I got down, and I asked Connie, I said, "Who's going to preach at the fellowship meeting?" And she said, "Tom Ross." I said, "I know Tom Ross. Why didn't I remember that?" "Because I'm still in the flesh. There's still nothing there sometimes. You got to expect that to happen. To make it, you can't just give up. We just can't do that." Dear sister asked me one time, we were the church was down, we had very few members, hardly any attendance, and she said, we can't just give up. And she was right. We can't give up. We got to keep on going. "But know you not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey?" We're going to yield ourselves to sin. We're going to obey sin. "His servants you are to whom you obey." If you keep carrying on, and I'm talking about living in sin here, not just from time to time or something like that, and I'm not trying to make you feel good if you've got something that you've done wrong. You need to make it right as much as you can with, say, I stole Brother Roger's car. I don't know why it would. I mean, it's a Subaru. But if I stole his car and I wrecked it, I'm going to go to prison for one thing. But first of all, I need to make it right with Roger. We need to try as much as we can to make things right. And we need to understand that whether whoever we obey, that's the one we're serving. You have no choice in that matter. You're either a servant to sin or a servant of the Lord. So we are whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. So you can earn death, and we'll get to that again here later too. Or we can receive the righteousness of God. Now, we don't have any righteousness in us of our own self, but we have the righteousness of Christ. But anyway, verse 17, "But God be thanked." Boy, if we could start off every verse in the Bible with those four words. "That God be thanked. All these things that he's done for us. God be thanked that we were the servants of sin. But ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you." You were the servants of sin. Past tense. We need to make sure we're not the servants of sin. "But ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you." Now, I have heard preachers and other people say that doctrine is ungodly. And I don't know where they get that from. I mean, if the first doctrine is how God and sin, and I'm going to die.
Tune back in about 5 minutes. Pastor's got a great message.